But I want to welcome y'all to another Daily Decan, your rosary on the road. I have a special intention today that we'll read in just a second, but if you have any intentions that you want to send in, especially now, this week, and Holy Week, if you have any personal struggles or you know anyone who has any personal struggles, if you have a general intention, or if you just have a question or something that you want to say to me, you can go ahead and send those in to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. Now, I actually had it's funny how these things always work out. I had an intention today directly related to what we commemorate today on the Tuesday in Holy Week. And as it happens, the gentleman who wrote in asking for prayers today, who asked to be referred to as Armchair F, he has an intention that is even more appropriate to the commemoration today than what I was thinking of. And so he's given us all a wonderful opportunity to reflect upon that. Armchair F wrote in to let me know that he is struggling, let all of us know, that he's struggling in a way that many people are struggling right now due to these horrendous lockdowns and the economic impact that they're having, which is a really wonderful euphemism for saying that the government has put people out of work. And he's developed some bad habits as a result, mostly with the consumption of alcohol and indulgence in other ways. And I want to pray for him very, very badly. Even if he had not asked me to pray for him, I would pray for him, because he's struggling the way so many people are. And people who struggle are people who walk very close to the chasm, the ravine of despair, and it's very easy to roll down that hill. And it's very easy to, but it's a false step that leads you down there. God says in the Psalms that God desireth not the death of a sinner, but he be converted and live. And Christ tells us that it is the will of the Father that nothing that was given to him be lost. So there's always hope, no matter what situation one finds oneself in. And in addition to hope, or rather shoring up that hope, is the power of prayer. So I want all of us to pray for not just Armchair F and his personal struggles, but anyone who is struggling in this way, that recognizing their sins, they might find true penitence, go and seek some means of attaining the absolution that God grants to it. Perfect contrition, and might be inspired to do the perfect penance that they may suffer no temporal and no purgatorial punishments as a result of their sins. But most of all, that sins might loosen their grip upon them. As someone who struggles with a lot of bad habits, I can say from experience that once you develop a habit, it has its hands around your throat, and it is very difficult to get that grip to loosen up. And so I want to pray for all of those who are trapped in sins that won't let them go, that the power of God, their guardian angels, will loosen that grip so that they might breathe once again and be filled with the Spirit of God. For Armchair F and for all who are struggling in this way, we'll pray our rosary today. Now, today's a Tuesday, so we'll be saying our prayers in English. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, our weeping and mourning, from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Mary of Egypt, Saint Augustine of Hippo, who were chosen to be great pillars of the faith and penitence, and exemplars of conversion. Pray earnestly for us, and especially for all of those deep in the grip of sin, but desiring the grace of God and true penitence. Guide them by your example, and pray earnestly that the demons who grip them shall be defeated, that their grip shall be loosened, that Christ shall triumph over them, and once again breathe the breath of life to fill the lungs and soul of all who struggle and desire penitence, which is most pleasing to God. Saint Mary of Egypt, who fled into the desert, to be alone with God after a life alone without Him. Comfort those whose sins have isolated them, and pray that they may find the company of the saints to restore the company of, to restore the good company of their fellow man. Saint Augustine, who taught that our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, in God. Pray that all the restless hearts, disturbed by their sins, might find rest in the grace of God and in His mercies, and might strive to be pleasing to Him in penitence. Saint Mary Magdalene, uniquely chosen by our Lord Himself to be a pillar of penance and of conversion to all who look upon your life, pray earnestly for all of us to have perfect contrition, and in this especially holy season, to make great efforts to prepare for the sins which caused our Lord's crucifixion and His most horrific death, that we may all share with you and all the saints in His glorious resurrection. Saint Augustine, pray for us. Saint Mary of Egypt, pray for us. Saint Mary Magdalene, pray for us. For all of us in all our daily struggles against sin, vice, bad habit, neglect, anything which isolates us from our Lord God, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. O Sacred Heart of Jesus. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, it is my earnest hope that everyone who is struggling with the things on your heaven, that you know that you're struggling with, will have the aid of God. And I want to say, I want to comment briefly. I have something I wanted to talk about, but before I do that, it occurred to me while I was saying the prayer that there were those three saints that I think would be especially helpful. And there's another who was recently beatified. I know that there's a mix in my audience, and I myself am iffy on all the beatifications and sainthoods since they changed the whole process back in the 1970s. And it's, you know, it's kind of scratching your head. They got rid of things like the devil's advocate, which actually sought out all the faults of the saint to guarantee that the church spoke authoritatively on the subject. She spoke authoritatively, among other things. So I have discomforts. I'm sure there are others that do as well. But I don't think that those discomforts can extend themselves to deny the sanctity of those who truly have it. After all, canonization only recognizes what is already true, that someone is in heaven and joined the beatific vision. So there's also a blessed, that's the preface, there's also a blessed, a beatified man for whom I have great admiration, who I believe in my heart is in heaven. And that's Blessed Bartolo Longo. So in addition to St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene, and St. Mary of Egypt, all ancient saints of great standing, excellent examples, and great saints to pray to as well. There's also this Bartolo Longo, whose example I think speaks a little bit more to people who are trapped in modernity here. For those who are unaware of the other saints, St. Augustine of Hippo is, of course, I think, famous for his conversion because he spent most of his youth engaged in incredibly worldly activities. Now, it wasn't, they were not especially debauched. They were common for his time by standards of Christian Europe, they were demolished. But by the standards of his time, and really probably by the standards of our own, actually I would say by the standards of our own, they were perfectly innocent. But by the standards of his time, they were okay, and by Christian standards, they were demolished. He engaged in the frequent partying, the attendance of the games, theft for fun, vandalism, the sort of destructive behavior that one expects out of wayward students. Later on in life, he took several mistresses, impregnated one and took her as what was a sort of common law wife at the time, but one that could easily be put away in order to have a more properly social marriage, a more socially proper marriage. And in all that time, he was a heretic, belonged to a heretic sect known as the Manichees, who were dualists. Not in the sense that they fought, but rather in the sense that they believed that there was a good God, an evil God. An evil God created the world, and the good God was just passive. But he was converted through the prayers of his mother, Monica, Saint Monica, and became really the great father of the church. Saint Mary of Egypt lived about the same time as Saint Augustine, if I'm not mistaken. He died in the 5th century, and she was alive in the 6th century, now that I'm thinking about it. But she was a whore, and she applied her trade in Egypt and went up to the temple in Jerusalem, to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, as a sort of tourist thing, just to go see it. That's all the fuss about. And when she arrived at the doors of the church, she could not enter. Not because they were barred, they were open to everyone who was walking in. She was going in with a crowd. But when she tried to enter, she found herself unable to step forward. She was not allowed in her impurity to enter that holy space. It's especially appropriate that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, given that it's Eastertide, I believe it was Eastertide when she was going there as well. And she had a moment of realization, what they call in Alcoholics Anonymous, a moment of clarity, when she recognized how low she was, how separated from God she was, and everything that she had been doing wrong. And she went out, she fled, dropped all of her money, everything, all of her property, and just fled out into the desert in Jordan, what is now Jordan. And she lived there for 40 years until another Christian saint, whose name escapes me, I'm sorry, stumbled upon her, heard her story, and brought her back as an exemplar of conversion and penitence. And then, of course, the last is St. Mary Magdalene, and I think most people know her story. She was a demoniac, she was freed of the demons by Christ, and she had acquired these demons through impure living. She is identified by St. Gregory the Great, no less authority than St. Gregory the Great, as the woman taken in adultery. And she is also responsible for one of two episodes, one of which is commemorated today, but there is another episode of a penitent woman who comes to Christ when he is in the house of, I believe it's when he's visiting with Nicodemus, but I might be wrong about that. At any rate, he's at table with a Pharisee who's invited him to argue with him. And a woman comes in who is a woman in sin and weeps onto the feet of Christ and cleans them with her hair. It must have made something of a mess, but it was a gesture of penitence. Remember that St. John the Baptist said, referred to Christ as one, the latch of whose sandal I am unfit to loose. There is a significance and power to the feet in Eastern culture especially. A slave greets his master at his feet or at his knees. This is practiced in the Far East as well. In India, it's common for children to greet their father in that way in certain castes, or it was. I don't know if it's still practiced, but traditionally. And of course, for a lower caste, can't touch a higher caste. But again, there's a bowing at the feet. And she comes with bowels and Christ's feet. And there's another saint, or there's another man who's been declared blessed by the church, I believe is a saint, but my authority means nothing. I don't have any authority, so my opinion means nothing. And that's Bartolo Longo. Now, he lived in the 19th century. He was an Italian, very much like several other famous Italians who rose to prominence in the 20th century. He had a very devout Catholic mother and a very politically involved father who was critical of the church. And they were very concerned about his education, so they sent him off to university. And while he was at university, he fell in with the crowd that was pushing the Risorgimento, the people that were following Garibaldi, and his Freemasonic occultism. And he fell in with a more explicitly occult group and began practicing open Satanism. He became ordained, quotation marks, or appointed a satanic priest. And he was converted from this life, both by the isolation and despair that he felt as a result of his pursuit of this life. And he went to a friend from his native town who handed him a rosary and sent him to a Dominican friar. And the Dominican friar converted him through the use of the rosary. And Bartolo Longo eventually became a great apostle of the rosary, spread the rosary throughout Italy. He walked into the town of Pompeii, found a church in dilapidation, and the people of superstitious belief, and established it as a church dedicated to the Holy Rosary. And to this day, it is the Basilica of Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary in Pompeii, in Italy. And he was wholly responsible for that. He was eventually, he was a tertiary in the order of preachers, eventually became a knight in the order of Jerusalem, and he was responsible for the conversion of many souls by the use of the rosary, so he's particularly close to what we're doing here. And all of these people have in common that they lived absolutely horrendous lives, but the isolation that those lives produced from them, the loneliness, the separation from God, that they felt keenly through some conversion experience. And it wasn't that they converted and all of their sins suddenly went away and they stopped being who they were. They decided, no, we need to put an effort here now to change this. And when they did that, they became great saints. And that rather flows very well into what it was that I wanted to talk about today, which is what we're commemorating today on Holy Tuesday, which is it's the straw that breaks the camel's back for Judas and causes him to betray our Lord. And there's also a wonderful example of, it's sort of the opposite of a mirror of the rest of Holy Week. Monday and Tuesday represent sort of mirrors of Thursday and Friday. Yesterday, Christ cleansed the temple, just as the temple veil is rent in two by his act of spiritual cleansing on the cross, the sacrifice. But he has a physical cleansing and an opening of the court of Gentiles to the Gentiles to come and worship at the temple. And when he dies on the cross, the veil of the temple is rent, and all the peoples of the world, all the nations of the world, now are open to the salvation of God. On Thursday, Christ institutes the Holy Eucharist, and he is betrayed by Judas, whose sins crucify him. On Holy Tuesday, he is at supper with Simon the leper, and whilst at supper, a penitent woman, who perhaps was Mary Magdalene, perhaps another woman, came in to dinner and broke a container of precious ointment that she held around her neck and anointed the feet of Christ. It would be a powerful perfume, incredibly valuable, because these ointments were very, very expensive. This is how people bathed and how they washed away their outer filth, water, and these precious ointments that were based on olive oil. And she anointed the feet of Christ to wash away the dirt and the filth, and also to make devotion to him. And Judas sees this and sees the perfume bottle that was shattered and the ointment, and recognizes it immediately and says, that's worth 300 shekels of silver. That's how much money we could have brought in if we had sold that. And Christ says to him, in a very telling way, the poor you shall have with you always, but me you shall not always have. And the woman recognized that. We are all at table with Simon the leper, all the time, throughout our entire lives. And we can take on one of three roles at that table. Now, of course, all the apostles were there as well, but there really were three roles that were filled at that table. The first role is the role of Simon the leper and the other apostles, who have no speaking parts in this particular story. They are onlookers. They observe our Lord, and they see him, and that is all. They have varying degrees of indifference to lukewarm devotion. They're simply there. So many of us are simply there for most of our lives. And we've talked about the three kinds of spectators at the foot of the cross, which is one of Bishop Fulton Sheen's examples, his exegesis. And I encourage you to go and watch his... If you look it up on YouTube, it's called His Last Words. What it is really is his last Easter sermon. And he talks about the three kinds of spectators at the foot of the cross. Well, they're similar. You have something similar happening at the table of Simon the leper, where you have the spectators of mixed indifference to lukewarmness, just uninvolvement. They're just spectators that are around the table. Then you have Judas, who rebukes Christ. And then you have the penitent woman, who prepares, as Christ says, she has prepared me for my burial. Just as our sins crucified Christ, all the pain and anguish, the sins of the flesh at the scourging, the sins of pride at the crowning, and all of the sins that led to his humiliation and crucifixion, so the woman, penitent woman, on Holy Tuesday, prepares Christ for his burial and for his resurrection. And just as Judas, who rebukes Christ, prepares him for his crucifixion, as we prepare Christ for crucifixion whenever we rebuke him, either in our hearts or through blasphemy or through rejection of him and his mercies, so too, in our penitence, we prepare him for his burial and prepare ourselves to share in the resurrection. Every time we weep before a cross, every time we go to confession, we make an examination of conscience, we say an act of contrition, we are at the feet of Christ. And whether we are merely weeping onto his feet as Mary Magdalene, or whether we have broken open the ointment of our contrition in its fullness. In the 50th Psalm, it says that the sacrifice unto God is a contrite heart, a broken spirit, and a humble heart God will not despise. This is the sacrifice, the broken heart, the broken bottle of ointment. And out of it, love for Christ, which anoints his feet and prepares him for burial, so that he may rise again and take us with him when he rises up. Bring up our souls, animate, for we are free among the dead, as the psalmist says. And Christ will animate us, take the dry bones and animate them, as in the desert. And so now, in Holy Week, on this day, it is a good day to reflect upon what role we are currently playing at the table of Simon the leper, because that will determine what role we play at the table of Christ on Holy Thursday, and what role we play before the cross on Holy Friday, and therefore what share we have in his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And it is my prayer that all of us find ourselves in the right place at the table, that we might find ourselves sharing with Christ at the tomb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.